Hallo, dit is Fashion Sloery en je luistert naar Digital Flotsam. The Dutch is my problem.
Exactly.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Digital Flotsam. I'm P.W. Fenton. Sometimes life doesn't go exactly the way you would have planned it, especially when you are young and careless and horny and stupid, and when you never really had a plan to begin with. That's what this episode is about, and I'm calling it Surprise! So I'm a teenager, barely 18 years old. I have a beautiful and vivacious girlfriend who has a gorgeous big set of perfect brown eyes. She also has a complete package of similarly attractive assets. And I, of course, am an average young male. An average young horny male. As a result, we expressed our love for one another every chance we got, and we became expert at creating even more chances to express our love. Our creativity was remarkable. We expressed our love at times right under our parents' noses without causing the slightest bit of suspicion. One of our most creative efforts involved our passion for the art of photography. You see, the pursuit of photography in those days involved setting up a darkroom, a room you had to seal off from the rest of the world, a room that once the door was closed, no one would dare open for fear that they would ruin whatever you were working on. And believe me, we did not want our parents ruining what we were working on. We worked very hard, and as often as possible. We even managed to produce a few photographs now and then. Virtually every moment that we could manage to be alone, we were expressing our love for one another.
Human beings are like kissing other human beings. Depravity is all around us. To lick and to bite other pretty human beings. Lord, save us all from depravity. And human beings are like feeling dizzy all the time. Depravity is all around us. So they smoke weeds and flowers and they drink beer and wine. Depravity, Lord, save us all from depravity. But I just wanna feel good. I just wanna feel good.
Many known methods of preventing unintended results of expressing our love, and of course, being intelligent young people, we chose the least likely to succeed. We avoided expressing ourselves in the middle of her cycle. And during those other times, we employed methods best expressed in terms of banking. We made sure to withdraw our assets prior to each deposit. Of course, it doesn't make much sense in terms of banking, and we should have realized it didn't make much sense in our application either. There is no way for an 18-year-old male to prepare himself to hear his girlfriend say the following four words. "We've got to talk." Without even trying to guess what we need to talk about, it just sounds ominous. Although I don't remember any of this clearly, I am sure I was thinking, well then, just talk. Don't announce it like it's the end of the world. If I was unprepared for "we've got to talk," I was extremely unprepared for the next sentence. "I'm 2 weeks late." That sentence, following the earlier sentence, was crystal clear. It was beyond any misinterpretation. Without the "we've got to talk," I might have interpreted it in any number of ways. She forgot a birthday. She failed to complete an assignment. She wanted to enter a contest but waited past the deadline. Any number of inconsequential and therefore happy things. But there was no mistaking the meaning of this phrase. She was suggesting that perhaps she might be, that she could very possibly be pregnant.
I woke up this morning, wasn't feeling right. I went to the kitchen to grab myself a bite, but much to my surprise, I had no appetite. Then I sat down at the table, started feeling all unstable, so I made an appointment to see Dr. Fry. I said, "Hey doc, you think I'm gonna die?" He looked at me so silly that I started to cry. And this is what he said to me that took me by surprise. "You got a bun in the oven, and not the kind you want to eat. The kind that's sent from heaven. The bun that comes from love, it's not your ordinary cheese. You got a bun in the oven, you're ready for some patty cake. The kind that from loving, got it. It only takes one mama to bake. Oh, baby."
It took an inordinate amount of time for this to really sink in. It seemed like there had to be a way to make this just go away. But this was 1966. Things like this only went away by taking terrible risks or by leaving the country, neither of which we had any way to afford. We avoided the decision way too long, but the answer was pretty simple. We had to just accept it. We were already planning to marry. In fact, I had already asked both of our parents for permission, only to be told that we should wait. Well, waiting was no longer really an option. We had to tell our parents. Now, I only had my dad. My mom had passed away years earlier. My dad was among the coolest, most youthful and hip parents a kid could have. So he was not going to be a problem. The real problem was going to be my girlfriend's parents. Her parents were first-generation Italian immigrants. They were very emotional, very set in their ways, very religious. But that really wasn't the worst part. Her father was a New York City police sergeant. He carried a gun. He was normally very loud and very forceful. And this was very special. This was about his daughter and honor. I was so fucked.
This is the way you're walking, and this is the way you breathe. This is the air around you, and this is the sound of your feet. This is the way you're talking, and these are the people you meet. Spread out on the path before you, just like every other road that leads to. Behind you, don't worry about what's ahead. When you listen to all the rabble, don't you worry about the things that they said. Listen to your heart that's beating like your body is a bell to ring. Listen to the music playing, listen to the singers sing. Like it's every morning, like every time you come to life. You could play the pretty husband or somebody's handsome wife. And all the time the clock is ticking, but it isn't such a sinister thing. Like everything that might deceive you, not this moment that can never leave you.
I seriously considered the idea that he just might flip out and shoot me. Since my hip dad was going to be a piece of cake, we decided that what we had to do first was deal with her parents. We knew it was going to be horrible. We knew they would just both freak out. We knew it would take every ounce of courage we had, every bit of effort we could summon to survive the encounter. If we survived, then we could move on to the way easier task of telling my father. We decided on a day, and I went to my girlfriend's house. I really don't remember how, but we got them into their basement rec room, because we had an announcement to share with them. It was so bizarre. It really didn't seem like they suspected anything. All I could think of was how I was going to be shot or beaten to a bloody pulp. Well, somehow, I don't remember clearly, it became time. I even think I got to the point where her father said, "So what's this announcement you want to give us?" I honestly don't recall choosing my words. I could have said, "Your daughter is pregnant." Or even, "I got your daughter pregnant." But what came out of my mouth may have been the most fortunate unconscious remark I have ever made. I said, "We're going to have a baby." Now, I had already imagined this scenario a million times in my mind, and it always ended with my girlfriend's mother screaming out in dismay and then just fainting dead away, followed by her father getting his service revolver and either smacking me in the head with it and threatening me with death or just simply shooting me dead. End of discussion. There was an eternal silence. Her mother was clearly shocked. Her father was completely blank-faced. Finally, her mother broke the silence. She looked at her husband and said, "Well, John, I'd say it was time for us to have a drink." I have no idea what our faces did at that moment, if they did anything at all. I had been expecting horror and mayhem, and instead, we were receiving love and congratulations. It was an astounding experience. We spent the rest of the evening discussing how we were going to earn a living. When I told him that I would give up my plans to go to school to learn TV production and just get a job, her father said, "No, I'll pay for your tuition. You should go to that school." We were completely blown away. And in my case, I had the added ecstasy of simply being alive. The next day, our much simpler task was to tell my dad. My dad was not only my dad, he was our friend. We had nothing but great times together. He would be so happy for us.
What's a boy to do when you tell your tale and it never fails to just end up feeling bad for you? With your hangdog eyes, you can bring me down. Now I'm wrapped around your whole hand, stop looking so surprised. You make it easy. Self-defense. You can obfuscate and manipulate, but it's only at your own expense. You make it easy.
Make it easy. judge you, easy to betray, easy to adore you, though you want to run away. It's easy. Look what you have done. I can do the same. Two can play this game. You'll no longer be the only one. You make it easy.
This time it was her turn to break the news. There was no dread, there was no ceremony, no build-up. We simply sat down at the kitchen table and she said, "We have something great to tell you. I'm pregnant and we're going to get married." We looked at his face expectantly. No pun intended. What we expected to see was him breaking out into a grin and showering us with hugs. What actually happened was as surprising as her parents offering us a toast. He let out a tortured wail and dropped his head to the table, crying and sobbing. How could this have happened? How could he have been so blind? How could he have let us ruin our lives? We did this for revenge because he had said that we were too young to be thinking about marriage. We sat there dumbfounded. This was not how this was supposed to go. He was our pal. He was our friend. He was going to be the happy one. In reality, he was the only one facing the reality of the situation. Here were two kids about to take on a responsibility nobody was ready for. And nowadays, I'm mature enough to realize that something else was at play. I was so young and immature, I would never have even considered it. My dad, already a single parent, was now facing having to support and raise my sister, 5 years younger than me, all by himself. No older brother to look out for things. No wonder he went to pieces. But for me, an idiot who hadn't even joined the human race yet, all I could think of was, "Geez, I never expected this." Well, how could I let a digital flotsam conclude without a happy ending? Perhaps some of you have already reached the correct conclusion already. It all worked out. Me and my sister and my dad all survived quite well. And my girlfriend, Rosalind, she just ate breakfast with me this morning, some 42 years later. In spite of all the odds, in spite of all the obstacles, in spite of our foolish youthful beginnings, in spite of me, sometimes, despite hardship, trials, and tribulations, you're still damn lucky. So there you have it. Another episode of Digital Flotsam has come to an end. You should be happy to know that despite the odds that were stacked against us in 1966, Roz and I are still together. And my two children, both daughters, are now adults, living their own lives, making their own mistakes, and only occasionally borrowing money. As always, information about the fine music you've heard in this episode, as well as links to where you can buy it, can be found in the show notes at digitalflotsam.org. And now, the disembodied voice of a formerly very young man named Alex Waller, who wishes to tell us that...
P-Dub holded the microphone.